This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Could not be more happy to announce Carter Hawkins as Cubs GM.
Cubs General Manager Carter Hawkins.
I'm so honored to be in this room, to be joining such a historic franchise with such a passionate fan base.
A Vanderbilt grad.
Like every player that goes to college baseball, whether it's Vanderbilt or whether it's a D3, you know, they think they're going to be a professional baseball player. And I did, until David Price walked through the doors. And so started to kind of go through the process of what I wanted to do in my career. And, you know, as I landed on baseball operations as a potential career.
Carter Hawkins talking Chicago Cubs baseball with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
There's people everywhere, and all I could hear was go Cubs go over and over and over and over.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome Carter Hawkins to the program. The Cubs general manager joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check them out, aturo.com. Carter, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're holding up. I'm curious. Yesterday, listen, the weather's been awful, and you guys have been winning series, and that's really all anyone is after. But I don't know if it was the combination of Shota just not being Shota, having a rough go, which, again, probably weather-related. But I think that Justin Steele news kind of took everyone for a little bit of by surprise. Was this a pre-existing thing, or did he just come out of that start with a sore elbow?
Kind of both. You know, obviously, it's the same injury as last year, something that's been nagging him. So, that happens with players, you know, where there's something that, you know, kind of pops up here and there, you know, throughout their careers. And Justin's no exception there. And, you know, this one popped up. It's not something that had been hurting him in spring training. You know, he'd been in a really good place. And, you know, we're hopeful that we caught it early and that we'll be able to get him back here soon. And, you know, that's why we're taking a conservative route here.
What is the level of concern, and is Jordan Wicks part of the plan to perhaps replace him for a start here or there?
Yeah, I mean, there's always concern when you're dealing with injuries with any player, especially somebody as talented as Justin. But, you know, right now, all we got to do is figure out exactly what's going on in there and then, you know, adjust as necessary. But, you know, this is something that almost every team is dealing with. And, you know, we certainly, you know, built up our starting pitching depth to be able to withstand things like this. And you got guys like Wicks, Colin Ray, obviously Javier Saad is going to be coming off the IL here, you know, not imminently, but, you know, soon, hopefully this month. And, you know, then you got other guys in the minor leagues, your Cade Hortons of the world. And then,
right,
you know, there's somebody that no one's thinking about that's going to be helping us out over the course of this year. So I think the answer is all of those guys are going to be part of the answer. And, you know, with winning teams that go long into the season and into the off season, they have to have a lot of answers.
Obviously, an off day today. You guys traveling to California, and we know that that Justin wasn't scheduled to pitch until Sunday. Is there any chance that J-Mo could go? Because I think you're off next Thursday too. Do you not want to load up anybody early, or is there an opportunity to maybe take advantage of a couple of off days and try to get by without kind of starting someone unexpected?
Yeah, you certainly don't want to throw guys off of their routines if that's not something that you have to do. You know, I think an interesting byproduct of the Japan series, if you look at our early schedule, there's a lot of off days, especially on Thursdays. It almost looks like a minor league schedule or the new minor league schedule, which is nice. You know, that allows us to have some flexibility in how we go about maneuvering our pitching and our roster. And, you know, from that perspective, you know, we're glad that the schedule laid out this way, and we'll use that to our advantage as best as we can.
So let's talk about Matt Shaw for a moment, because I think there's a lot of focus on and hope that he is going to be the guy that is the everyday third baseman this season. He's not great at the plate so far, hitting just 170, but he is getting on base because he's walked 10 times. How do you balance one against the other, Carter? And what are reasonable expectations for Matt Shaw? And also, how much patience is the front office and maybe Craig Counsell going to have?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a broad scope, we're trying to win baseball games, and so we're going to try to make decisions to put our best team out there. But what Matt's done really well is he's played great defense, and I think there's a lot of encouraging signs at the plate. And I think you mentioned the plate discipline. That's certainly been good, his ability to get on base. You know, and I think he's taking better swings, you know, over the last week. And you know, he's seen some really good arms and some really not great hitter-friendly weather. And, hopefully over the course of, the next weeks and months, that he'll be able to slow things down a little bit and get back to his natural talent. And I expect that'll happen. But I think you look at all the young players around the league and just the adjustment it is to go up to the big league so quickly, it's really, really difficult. And I think the fact that we're seeing some progress here is encouraging, and we'll continue to play that out.
You know, it isn't. You're right about the weather and everything going on early in the season, but man, you guys have been killing the ball. It's been kind of fun to see you. I think it's 8 of the last 10 games or 9 7-run games, something crazy like that. You've been really able to put up some runs. You just needed the 7 yesterday and everything would have been fine. But what's it like seeing that and knowing? I mean, you know, we talked about it during spring training, how you know, everybody wants everyone to be hitting, and it doesn't matter till the season starts. Well, everybody's doing a pretty good job of hitting.
Yeah, it's been really encouraging early, you know, and I think we've all realized that, you know, sometimes these things can be feast or famine, and so really the only thing you can do is focus on the next game and making sure you try to just continue to have your best approach for the next game. And I think that's what guys have been doing, you know, and then when we've had a tough game, we've come back and played well the next one. And I think that's just all you really can focus on and just long of a marathon of a season like this is. But yeah, to your point, it's been really encouraging. The ability to take walks, the ability to hit with runners in scoring position, the ability to drive the ball, it's all been going really well. And that means a lot of runs, and that typically leads to a lot of wins.
This is Mullane Hall. We're talking with Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, who's appearing on behalf of Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities, to end overpopulation of homeless animals, and to transform animal welfare. One of those guys hitting the cover off the ball is Kyle Tucker. And certainly, Carter, you know how it goes when you have a guy entering the final year of his contract. The conversation has already begun about what he is worth and can he stay forever? Because that's what we want him to stay forever. What is the Cubs policy? What is the approach with Kyle Tucker? Are you open for contract negotiations during the season? Is that something that's up to the player? Or what is your stance when we talk about the contract future for Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll repeat a lot of the stuff Jed said. You know, we'll keep those conversations internal, whether they're happening or whether they're not happening. But I'll also repeat what Jed said, and that, you know, he's a player you want to build around, and he's absolutely an elite hitter in this league and played a great defense as well. And he's carried our lineup, you know, along with our catchers over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we'll expect to see that continue through the season. And, you know, just thrilled that we have him on this club.
Crazy lot of money floating around, and we just saw another contract extension in Toronto and another big deal. And you know, you keep wondering, like, how big are these contracts getting? Do you have to move quicker because the more you wait, the bigger the like, how do you judge that? How do you balance the kind of price of playing poker going up so exorbitantly?
Yeah, I mean, generally, you know, you're trying to judge markets. You're trying to understand, you know, are there certain positions, certain players that are overvalued or undervalued, and, you know, allocate your dollars appropriately, you know, within those contexts. But you know, it's hard to judge markets. You know, the guys that are doing it on Wall Street, you know, are having a really hard time right now, and not too much easier over here in baseball either. So, yeah, I mean, those are conversations that we're constantly having, you know, during the off season, during the season, you know, trying to understand where there might be some inefficiencies. And, you know, we're just trying to make sure that, you know, when we're spending money, that money is going towards wins, and that money is going towards wins in an efficient fashion. And there's a lot underneath that sentence, but that's really the goal.
So you have access to all the information, all the camera angles, all the stuff. You also have access to the players and what they're thinking and how they're feeling and what they might be dealing with that we're not aware of. Help us understand Ryan Pressly and the start that he's off to, because the numbers say that, you know what, it's acceptable, it's fine, and he's going to get better. There have been some shaky moments. There's no doubt about it. You can't get around it. He's here to close games. He's here to pitch the ninth inning. How would you describe the start he's off to, and is there anything that you see that can be or will be corrected?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking about guys that are throwing the ninth, obviously there's a magnifying glass on that. And so they get talked about more, which, you know, is understandable, and that kind of comes with the territory with that. You know, I think the stuff has actually been pretty good relative to where he's been over time, and that part's encouraging to know that, hey, look, it's still in there. I think really for him, it's, you know, he's going to have some contact. He's going to have some balls put on the ground, and, you know, some of those balls are going to get through. I think for him, it's about ability to command and ability to get ahead, ability not to walk a guy and then have a hit on top of that is when really traffic starts happening. And that's really where it gets, you know, a little bit tight in the ninth inning, of course. So, you know, we're encouraged that the stuff is still there. You know, we're going to continue to try to work on helping to have him be able to land that stuff in an effective way as possible, and, you know, encouraged about his ability to help us out at the back end of games, and, you know that there's a lot of other guys that are supporting him as well. You know, I thought Porter Hodge was really, really good the other night, despite a couple of hits that just happened to be hitting to the corners, and same thing with Julian Merriweather. You're seeing Brad Keller, you know, start to establish himself as someone that potentially could help us out at the end of the games, and from that perspective, we'll just continue to try to put our best guys out there so that we can win as many games as we can.
Carter, we had a fun conversation with Tommy Hotovy recently where we were asking him his thoughts on the torpedo bats. You know, it just became this like rage and bait. Oh, look at the end with a torpedo bat. And he kind of laughed and said that with all the different pitches that are, you know, we're changing the names of some pitches we're familiar with, but there seems like every time you turn around, the pitching people are really coming up with something crazy and cool, and they're moving the ball and everything else. And he kind of joked that it's high time the hitters kind of responded. What's your take on that torpedo bat stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so it's something that we've been working on for a long time, you know, maybe 2 years, and really hadn't been talking about it with anyone, obviously,
right?
Because we wanted to try to keep it to ourselves. And I think there was some kind of convergent evolution happening where some other teams were coming to some of the same conclusions. The funny part on the name piece, and I was laughing about this with our guys, is we had named ours a reverse taper bat, which, like, in retrospect, is just not the best marketing play.
Reverse taper? Did you say reverse taper
bat? That's what he said. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Rolls
yeah,
right off the tongue.
And then somebody started talking about torpedoes. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, we should have gone with torpedo. So the fact that we didn't hit 5-0 runs in our, you know, in our first game, I think, and no one noticed it, and the fact that we called it reverse taper probably was why a lot of those articles were written about us. But, you know, look, like, this is such a fun game where you're always trying to find, you know, just 1% advantages, and, you know, I think – these reverse taper bats or torpedo bats or bowling pin bats or whatever you want to call it is an opportunity to find some of that advantage. And, you know, we have some really, really smart people in our organization that work on things like that all the time. And, you know, just glad to see that, you know, yeah, the hitting side is finally punching back a little bit here in terms of innovation. And, you know, I expect that will continue to happen.
Well, I think one guy who's benefiting from whatever you want to call it, but Dansby Swanson has 4 home runs already and looks like he's got more power at the plate, Carter. And I just wonder, he also looks as fluid as ever in the field. The offseason core surgery, or however you want to describe that, how much difference did that make in allowing him to maybe be the player earlier this season than we have seen before? Because you look at him and he looks more dangerous to the plate. And I just wonder what effect that offseason surgery had.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Dansby, and certainly couldn't give you a specific number as to what is driving him just looking a little bit better on the field over the course of this year. Obviously, he played great defense last year and actually put up a solid offensive season. But to your point, he's been really good this year thus far, and I have to imagine for him just not having to play through pain every day definitely just eases his mind and allows him to be the best version of himself.
Carter, he seemed to be tapering off last year. Now there's a reverse taper.
Exactly. Now
we can market it.
Now
we got a chance.
Better. Yeah.
How many people experiment with it? I read somewhere that Bellinger was using it last year, and then obviously the Yankees are using it. How many people have been? I mean, do we expect to see more of it, or is it just kind of depend on the person, how comfortable they are with it?
Yeah, I would expect that we'll see more of it. I mean, it's kind of like all of us 20 years ago when, you had that buddy that was like, hey, I got this thing called a Big Bertha, and it's like, it helps me hit it a little bit further. And you're like, I like mine. It feels good. Like, I'm going to hit mine for a while. Then over time, you're like, crap, like this guy's hitting it 20 yards farther than me every time. I think that'll happen over time as guys get used to it and it just becomes more prevalent throughout the league. So that'd be my expectation. My expectations aren't always right, but I imagine it'll go that direction.
Carter, let's talk about Michael Busch for a second, because on one hand, I see a guy who is an ascending player. First base, his defense has gotten really good. He's the cleanup hitter. And I don't know if we look at the way we look at cleanup hitters the way we used to look at cleanup hitters, because if we did that, I don't think that the cleanup hitter 20 years ago, 10 years ago, might have been pinch hit for in the fifth inning because of a matchup on the mound. Michael Busch has been a guy that I think, has run into that a couple times this season already. How valuable is he to this team? Do you understand kind of like maybe sometimes the confusion we see from the outside when the guy is pinch hit for if he's batting cleanup, and you think, how could you do that in that spot? I guess, what is the overall philosophy when that happens, and what, how much do you value his offensive abilities?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a two-part answer here. I think one, focusing on Michael Busch, he is extremely valuable, right? You talked about his defense already. He's had just consistent at-bats. He's been able to drive the baseball. He is, an above-average first baseman for us, and from that perspective, to have him under control for as long as we do, we are thrilled to have him. So I think that's, part Michael Busch for a second. I think the second question you're asking is, okay, like with traditional lineup spots, like in doing untraditional things with those lineup spots, like why would you do something like that? And the short answer is, you feel like that's going to help you win the game more effectively. So if, we feel like Justin Turner is going to hit a left-handed pitcher or someone else is going to hit a left-handed pitcher, a specific left-handed pitcher better than a specific left-handed hitter, and we're at a high leverage situation like that, we're going to make that move. So the decision there is, hey, in this particular situation, this player is better, this other player is better. But in general, we feel like the other guy is really, really, really good. So, yeah, I think it's different, right? And I think I can understand why, someone would say, hey, why would that be happening if that guy's a cleanup hitter? But the short answer is, in this specific example or this specific situation, this is the best way for us to try to win this baseball game, and that's why we do it.
All the talk is, as David mentioned, about Kyle Tucker, King Tuck, what he can do. I've really enjoyed seeing Matthew Boyd. I've really enjoyed Carson Kelly. It feels like some of the guys you added have maybe exceeded my expectations, probably not yours.
John Birdie?
Yeah, John Birdie, fast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we liked those guys, or else we wouldn't have given them so much money. But from that perspective, we're encouraged by their starts. They've fit seamlessly into the clubhouse, and to your point, have really, really done well early in the year. And look, it's extremely early, and we have a long way to go. But the way those guys go about their business, the way they prepare for each game, my expectations is that we'll be in a really good place with them going forward, and excited that we have them.
It is extremely early, but heading into yesterday's game, I believe the Cubs led the majors in runs scored, stolen bases, and walks. So from your perspective, when you look at this team offensively, what is its strength?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? Like, we're looking to score runs. How are we going to do that better than other teams? Well, probably not going to hit more home runs than other teams or than all of the teams. We'll be up there. We got some guys that can really drive the baseball, but got a lot of fast guys, a lot of smart guys, a lot of intelligent guys that are really going to play every game 100%. You've seen all those plays we've had early where, you know, runner on first and he beats out a force play at second. That extends an inning. That gives us an opportunity to score more runs. You've seen us steal bases. You've seen us take extra bases. I think that aggression, that pressure definitely allows us to create more runs either through getting more outs or just, you know, being able to advance guys. And I think you've seen our ability to really put pressure on the pitcher by making him come into the zone, by taking balls that are, you know, an inch or 2 inches off the plate. You know, you watch some of the teams have been really, really good over the last several years, and their hitters are able to do that. You know, we'll play a Dodgers team this weekend. Their hitters are really good at doing that. They make you come into the zone. And if you can be patient and make pitchers make mistakes, you got an opportunity to capitalize on them. So, yeah, I think it's those things and, you know, encouraged about the early results so far.
I always wonder when I see a guy who hits rather unconventionally, like Matthew Shaw's stance, is that more difficult for a hitting coach to work with a guy? Does that take extra work? Does that take extra kind of, it's just such an odd stance. We've certainly seen other guys with that kind of stance, but I just wonder what, is that a hitting coach's nightmare?
Oh, no nightmare. Probably enjoy it for sure in terms of just, you know, having something else to think about. You know, the thing about hitters is they all get back to similar positions after their load, right? So right. The stance is kind of a comfort position to where they start. I mean, think about Craig Counsell, right? Like where he started. Like his position, if you freeze framed it as the pitch is starting to be released from the pitcher, it's going to look very similar to all other hitters. And so the path to get to that, you know, that convergent position for all hitters is a little bit more difficult if you have a little bit more unorthodox stance, but it's still the same thing. So I think for a hitting coach and for that hitter, it's just, okay, how are you going to get from this place of comfort to this next place of success that looks like what all successful hitters do? And yeah, that's a little bit more difficult, but it's offset by the comfort that it gives the hitter.
All right, Carter. So earlier you referenced Big Bertha. We are distracted in the studio here because we're watching the Masters. Is there a Masters pool in the Cubs front office? And do you have a prediction for who's going to win this weekend?
If there's a Masters pool, I was left out of it. I probably had my head in the computer a little bit too much over the last couple of weeks to know what's going on there. But in terms of who is going to win, the chatter down in the clubhouse was that Rory hasn't looked as good as he looked unbelievable relative to how he's typically gone into the Masters. So I'm going to give him that one. And if we win that one, I wish I would have been in the pool.
Great stuff. Carter, thanks a ton. Great catching up. You really appreciate it.
Thanks, Carter.
Yeah, likewise, fellas. Take care.
That's a lot of fun. That's Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, and he's called it correctly.
It's our third prediction for Rory.
Yeah.
You, Dustin, and Carter Hawkins.
Well, I also have all the guys with an S in their surname. I mean, that's just because Dustin jumped me. I got to add everything like that. So that's what happens. You mess.
You have any
with
thoughts
the best,
on Lowry?
You lose like the rest.
Shane Lowry
got an S in his first name, not his last.
Yeah,
name.
Not his last name.
Oh, I'll take him too. What the hell? Any S's?
He was the one that made McElroy
Poppy's daughter cry. Yeah. I don't think he was trying to intimidate her.
He was
trying to celebrate,
yes.
And she's just a little tiny thing, and so she cried, and Dad had to give her a hug. It was beautiful. What a hell of a putt. She putts better than Dad. I agree with you.
Good stuff from Carter.
Carter, good to talk to him, and enjoyed that conversation. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It all comes down to Miguel Vargas. Swings at the first one. It gets through to left field. One comes in, and we might have an injury. Oh, no. Talkman comes up and can't score. He just came off of a hamstring tweak off the IL a couple days ago, and he was unable to get home as he rounded the bag at third, started limping.
Ay, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. That was the spectacular way to lose yesterday. It seems like every game there's a new one, and that was a good call by John Schifrin. You really got the feel for what was gone wrong there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was real. Yeah. That was disappointment, yeah. And it was unfortunate because the White Sox, so close to tying that game, and had Mike Tauchman not pulled up with a bad hamstring, he might have scored that run.
The Palatine paralytic? What do you
call it? No, the Palatine plotter. In that moment, he still will recover and become the Palatine pounder again.
Okay.
But it was just a case of his legs gave out on him. And I wondered, back when we brought this up, geez, was that 5:45-ish? Pick six? I lose
track.
Yes,
it was very early.
If you're going to second guess anything, I wonder why they didn't use a pinch runner. If he was indeed the tying run,
Tony La Russa would never let him run that hard.
Stop.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Make
it a point here. We don't need to go back to La Russa.
I gotcha.
All right.
I was just making a joke.
I know.
Because everybody who plays for the Sox comes up with some injury by running.
I know, but Tauchman is the tough guy.
I know.
He's the grinder.
I love the guy. I was so happy they signed him.
He's like the professional they need at the top of the order.
I'm frustrated I don't get to see him at all.
I know.
Because he's one of the professional players.
He is. And now he's going to be out.
Professional offensive
Do we know how
player.
Bad it is? Have we gotten any reports on that? I just wonder.
Look bad.
It sounded much different when we hear WTAM from Cleveland.
Yeah, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
This is their call.
Let's listen to Cleveland Radio.
Class A lets it fly. And Vargas swings, grounds one wide of third in the hole. Base hit to left. In to score, Amaya. Tauchman coming home. Quant's throw to the plate. In plenty of time and pulling up lame is Tauchman. He is tagged out 10 feet from home plate as he's down on his knees with a leg injury. And Cleveland catches a break on what should have been a game-tying two-run single. And with Tauchman rounding third, he pulled up lame and had to pull up 10 feet from home and was tagged out by Hedges on an accurate throw from left from Stephen Kwan. And the Guardians escape in the most unusual fashion, winning it 3-2.
Okay, so I'm just going to make an accusation here. And you can tell me I'm wrong, but that's bad sportsmanship.
What is?
If a guy goes down like that, you help him. Maybe you help him to home.
Not
maybe
really.
You carry him over so we can tie the game. What are you doing tagging him out?
Great call there by Tom Hamilton, Hall of Famer.
Bad sportsmanship.
Horrible sportsmanship. He described it perfectly if you're watching it. And John Schriffen's disappointment was Tom Hamilton's glee.
Yeah.
And the White Sox did not tie the game. They lost their seventh in a row. It's unfortunate because they were in position. That was a comeback. That was a rally. That was producing runs in a way they hadn't really produced. And so the offense is broken. Benintendi's out. Now, I wonder how long Tauchman's going to be out. They go to AAA to bring up a guy who is hitting 128 or something for Charlotte because he's on the 40-man roster for reasons that don't make sense. I just don't know where they're going to get the talent. They just don't have it.
Gutless Guardians weasel out a win. That would be the way I would do it.
The White Sox guys have made some roster moves.
Uh-oh.
They tell us a little bit about what's
Thank
going
you.
On.
Thank you. I was asking for a little direction there, and I appreciate you providing some. What are the roster moves? Because I'm not to...
All right. I the afternoon show can have fun with this later, but they have selected the contract from AAA Charlotte for an outfielder named Joshua Palosius. They have selected the contract from AAA Birmingham of catcher Omar Navarez.
Oh, yeah. He's been with the team. Oh, there's. I got it right now. Yes. Oh, Corey Lee's on the injured list, too. Mike Tauchman on the injured list, too. They released Juan Carella. And they brought up Omar Narvaez from Birmingham. So he's going to replace Corey Lee on the roster.
And went to the Google machine to find out if the lineup was up because it is an earlier than usual. I believe the game goes before lunchtime out in Cleveland today.
Oh, man. So Joshua Palacios is joining the White Sox.
He's Roman, I believe. His family came
How do you feel about him in the Masters?
His family came from ancient Rome.
There's a 5-way tie at the top of the Masters, or was it 8-way tie? What did you tell me during the break? I'm very distracted.
Well,
now.
Let's check it.
There's an amateur.
You can check it. I'm into the White Sox now. You want me to talk baseball?
Six-way tie.
I cannot do everything. Six-way tie. All right. So I'm a little bit. So this, the White Sox are bringing up two outfielders from Charlotte. So because before this, the news was they were bringing up
Jonesy.
Greg Jones.
Jonesy.
That's who was supposed to be coming up before this.
What other nickname could he have?
Boy, they need some runs. So this, what I get out of this is, yeah, Narvaez is a former major leaguer. Palacios, I'm not familiar with.
Well, can I ask
why? I want to see Kyle Teal.
That's what I just wanted to ask.
Okay.
Why, well, if you're bringing him up, why don't you just bring up Kyle Teal?
I just want to know that.
That's what I just wanted to
ask. Some pop. Need some pop in the lineup. Need some ways to score some runs. Tauchman doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon.
No.
His hamstring was injured before he came back Sunday. And now it looks like maybe he came back too fast.
Yeah.
Can't run full speed.
Hamstrings are not.
Probably should have thought. I'm not getting a lot of support here, guys, when I've mentioned this a couple times. I'm just out here on a limb when I mentioned the pinch runner idea.
Again.
I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a bad idea, okay. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's just it's so.
But that
I tread very lightly with my White Sox.
A leg injury is so White Sox.
But
even if it's a guy.
Come on, Mully. If a guy who could run full speed without pulling his hamstring had been on second base, they might have tied that game.
Might have?
They would have.
Yes.
Okay. They would have tied that game.
No
question. I mean, they might have won that game.
Right. But now we're going to go after Will Venable.
I'm not going after anybody.
No,
you can have a conversation about
gratuitous shot.
It's not a gratuitous shot.
Why
I respect Will Venable.
Why didn't he imagine that could happen?
It's a good question.
Honestly.
Guardians now a 255 favorite.
Oh, that's great. Jeez,
everything so, gambling to
so
you.
They walk in a run to win one game, and then some sniper gets the Palatine Pounder so they can win a second game, and now they're
on the road.
Going away.
They're on the road. It was a road game.
I'm talking about the Guardians. Dustin's wager. It's not like they've dominated this series, right? But now they're favorited because apparently everyone understands the Sox are cursed.
Boy, it's rough. And it's already to the point where you are looking for reasons to watch and to listen and to pay attention.
Yeah.
This weekend, after today's finale, they are hosting the Boston Red Sox. And this weekend, Garrett Crochet, I think, will be pitching against the White Sox.
Oh. If he is, it'll be Sunday, because I think he just went. I think he went Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, but 5 days. If he went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, boom.
I think
Master Sunday, Garrett Crochet, Master Sunday.
What about Winkelmann Gonzalez? Do you know he's in that great pitching staff down in Birmingham?
What's he doing? I mean, you keep bringing him up. What's he doing? Tell
me. What's he doing? He's part of that trade, so they all should be in Chicago.
I know he's part of that trade, but he's the fourth name in that trade.
Yeah, but he's doing okay.
Okay.
Isn't he doing well down in – he's Winkelmann Gonzalez.
I don't know. I'm not paying attention to the Birmingham statistics other than Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz. And then I my mind drifts to Charlotte, and I'm looking at Colson Montgomery, Chase Meidrith, and Kyle Teal. Those are the names of the guys, five guys that I just named – will they be in Chicago this year? All five of them have a shot.
Well,
meanwhile, we're doing research on where Dan Jones came from.
Jonesy.
Greg Jones, I'm sorry. Greg. Daniel Jones is quarterback.
Yeah.
Jonesy.
He might be better right now than Greg Jones.
Daniel Jones.
They should bring a quarterback.
Bring him in.
Okay. It's fair.
What is he batting again, Greg Jones? One something, 129?
120. Oh, he's 130. He's up to 138.
Oh, yippee.
Yeah. He struck out 40% of the time.
That's spoken like a true Sox fan.
Yippee. So Palacios replaces Tauchman on the roster and with the Sox, and looks like Jones replaced Benintendi, who's on the injured list. So two of the best hitters are on the injured list. Yeah, this weekend's going to be pretty tough because the Red Sox are in town and they're good. Get a chance to look at Alex Bregman in a Red Sox jersey. Cub fans, that'll be a treat.
That will be a treat. That should be fun. You know, the Cubs just beat the Padres in a series, and the Padres first team in the National League to 10 wins. First team in baseball to 10 wins.
Yeah, good thing they didn't trade Dylan Cease. It looks like they're contending. Although, you know, that the conversation for another day, but if Dylan Cease isn't on the market, who's going to be the first big-name starting pitcher to be dangled in trade talks? And if Justin Steele's injury is too lingers too long, they're going to need to think that way. You got to think that way, Molly. You got to think ahead.
Who is it in Tampa, right? Is that the pitcher available, or is it Florida? Who's the somebody?
Alcantara?
Alcantara. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, you want it'd be great.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a guy. Great. You wanted to know who would be the guy.
That's a good name. I love that
name.
Thank
you.
I love that name. I love that speculation. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
No, let's hope they don't need to do that.
Let's hope that Justin Steele is fine, just misses a start or two. And Cade Horton could be here at some point this season. Did you notice this little nugget that Carter Hawkins mentioned in talking about the back end of the bullpen? He mentioned Brad Keller as somebody that you could get used to seeing in high leverage situations. That's interesting because he's a career starter.
Yeah.
But he also has major league experience and good stuff. So as we watch this bullpen kind of round into shape and guys take on roles, we don't know what their definitions are yet. Keep an eye on Brad Keller.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to figure out
Sorry to interrupt. What were you looking up?
I was looking up.
Very studious there. What are you looking up? You looking at the Charlotte roster?
No. I was looking at various Sox players who are either on the way or could be on the way, or why they won't bring up anyone.
Kyle Teal, did he cool off? Is that one of the reasons?
I don't know. I hadn't done the research.
It's only April 10th, and there's some
seasons. It's only 9:42.
Yeah,
43.
Well, for tomorrow, I want you to have complete reports.
We've got a Sox starting lineup.
Oh, here we go. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
Give it to me.
What do you want to know?
I want to know who's catching.
Matt Thies.
Yeah.
Former Cub, right, for a second and a half?
Before they got Carson Kelly.
Yeah.
Right field, nice. Austin Slater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thies is also a guy who wasn't with is also your batting fourth.
Nick
Matton is your DH, Andrew Vaughn, Miguel Vargas, Matt Thies, Austin Slater, Lenine Sosa, Brooks Baldwin, Michael Taylor in center, Jake Amaya, shortstop, Jonathan Gannon is your starting pitcher.
These Matt Thies and Maton.
Where is Robert, Luis Robert Jr.?
I guess he's getting a day off.
Okay.
He's getting a day off?
I didn't say his name. I'm only paying attention. You're not. You're too busy correcting me.
I was looking up the proper way to say Matt Thies because I thought it was Matt Thies. That's all. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to correct you. I was just making sure that we were correct.
What's more important, that we get that right or the fact that the best player on the White Sox is deciding to take a day off?
Both. I'll say both. Luis Robert Jr. is not playing today.
Maybe that's why it went from minus 235 to minus 255, David.
Oh, no.
20 cents matters.
All right. Well, we've got the crew in. We're going to get a chance to talk to Layla and Marshall and Grody time as well.
But hold on. We have a giveaway first. We have to give away a prize because the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, you said Grody, and I thought Take the North because he hosts that podcast with Dan Wiederer, and they're doing a live show on April 17th, 6 to 7, in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio.
We'll be giving more of those away tomorrow, David.
Can't wait till tomorrow, but do this today. 312-540-0670. Sixth caller gets to see Grody live and in person next Thursday night.
We got Transition next. Transitions on 670 The Score, brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Segment's done.